The following program is pre-recorded. Stan Gordon is our guest, and we're going to talk about really mysterious Pennsylvania. Casebook history of Bigfoot, UFOs, and other strange creatures of the night. I'm going to talk to him about a recent report of a strange creature, and then get into some other things about what's happening in Pennsylvania. First of all, Stan Gordon, always good to have you on. It's springtime there already, right?
Well, yes. It's weather's starting to improve down here. Temperature today's in the 60s, and it was about 60. It's about 47 right now. But it's improving, and there'll be more people outside, and that's the time of the year we start getting more reports.
Stan, we've got to start this show off with this report you got the other day. It's really mysterious. A bird man or something like that?
Well, according to the witness, it was something highly unusual, and while it's a rare type of report, I guess there have been something somewhat similar reported around the country and other parts of the world. But this gentleman contacted me on March 21st, and this happened actually during the early morning hours of March 18th. Now, this would be roughly, I believe, northeast of Pittsburgh, up in Butler County, out in the rural area between the towns of Shakora and East Brady. And the witness, who was a businessman who was driving through the area, said what happened was he was riding down the road, and about a quarter mile away, he notices something to his right in a grassy area that he first thought was a deer. So he steps on the gas, moves close to get a better view, and as he gets closer, he observes what appears to be a very large, tall, muscular creature that had been hunched down, which stood up. And he watches this thing actually walked in front of one of those yellow reflective road signs, and the man had his high beams on at the time, so he got a pretty good look at this thing, and he watched as this creature crossed the two-lane road with three long steps and disappeared into the woods. Now, he said what he saw, he said it was, never seen anything like it before in his life. It was actually, he said, it was the freakiest thing he ever saw, and it made the hair stand up on the back of his neck. He said it was a humanoid-type figure. It stood about 8 feet tall, a little over 8 feet tall, but he said, and he made it clear, he said he'd heard people who claimed to have seen Bigfoot in the area, and he said this was not a Bigfoot. He said this thing had no hair on it, but it appeared to have like smooth, leather-like skin that was either dark tan or light brown in color. And now he only observed this creature from a side view as he was walking across the road into the woods. But he gave a pretty detailed description of what it looked like. He said the head appeared to be flat in the front section and rounded out. At the top back of the skull was like one of those aerodynamic helmets. And the top was not quite a point, but looked like a ridge on top of the head. The face appeared flat, and the eyes were, he couldn't see them very well, but he said it looked like they may have been pointed in the corner. But he did get a good glimpse of the left ear that he said was long and flat. It came up and back, was pointed backwards like a flap. And he went on to say that it was quite a muscular type thing. The arms were muscular and a little longer than that of a human, but he said the hands looked more like a claw, but the number of fingers were unclear. And he said what really stood out was the fact that he had very extremely muscular legs and that it appeared to have trouble walking. And he said it was so unusual because he said it looked like the legs were bent backwards. And he said also, he noticed what it appeared to be wings on its back, which were tucked into its body, and the wingtips extended up towards the side of the head. He did notice any unusual smells or sound, but he did have a radio on, and its window was up. And the entire episode only lasted about 7-8 seconds, but it was enough time for him to get a pretty good look at this thing. And as he approached to the location where it walked into the woods, he could no longer see it. But he was curious enough that he drove back to that area the next day to look for any signs of evidence, and the ground conditions weren't real good. Couldn't find any tracks, but he did measure that road sign, and the road sign was just over 8 feet tall, and he said the head of this creature was probably about 4 inches above the top of the sign. And he wow. said he went on the internet and tried to figure out what this thing could have been. He couldn't find anything, but he said as odd as it is to say it, he said the closest thing was that he could find was a gargoyle.
It sounds like one.
And now another researcher reminded me, Brian Seach from up in Beaver County, that sometime in the early 2000s, maybe 2004, somewhere around there, I'm not exactly sure of the year, there was an incident happened up what they call Lake Arthur, up in that area, where there's been a lot of reports of a lot of strange activity. And apparently another motorist one night had come across a large creature that had a large wingspan on the bridge, and this thing jumped off the bridge and dived off and flew away. So there have been some other reports of something up in that area as well.
You know, Stan, this reminds me of those Mothman reports.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there are some similarities, but in the Mothman reports, a lot of those cases, they didn't appear to see an actual head, but those big red eyes that they reported to Mothman, which wasn't reported in this case, was more like in the top of the shoulders, as I recall. But it did it was quite tall and did have a very big wingspan. And as you remember, it was reportedly chasing cars at a high rate of speed back in the late 60s.
Stan, I always love to have you on because mysterious things happen in Pennsylvania. In fact, you wrote a book about that.
Yeah, actually, I wrote two books. My first two books both came out last year. First one was called Really Mysterious Pennsylvania, UFOs, Bigfoot, and Other Weird Encounters. And the second book, which came out October 30th, is called Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Casebook. And it details that major outbreak of strange events that happened here during 1973 and 1974, an unprecedented wave of multitudes of UFO sightings and Bigfoot cases that continued for months and months over a widespread area. And, you know, again, as we've talked in the past, I was out there with my research team. The first group that I had formed was called the Westmoreland County UFO Study Group. And I had founded that group in 1970. And we had a lot of research people involved. We were all doing this voluntarily. And we were pretty well set up and, you know, prepared to investigate cases when these events began in 73. And as these reports unfolded, we had investigators, myself or others on the scene, in many cases within minutes to hours after many of these events occurred. And there were just multiple witnesses, you know, involved, multiple creature cases, dozens of reports over widespread areas, and some involved more than one creature. Many were daylight sightings. Many were very close range. And, you know, we had gone into these investigations very open-mindedly, gathering information. And for what we had knew historically about Bigfoot events in Pennsylvania around the country, you know, we had gone in there with the idea that we're probably dealing with some type of unknown primate. But as that series of events began to unfold, many strange incidents began to come to our attention, even to the police departments and the news media, who back then were referring quite a lot of the reports to our group to investigate at the time. And we had some cases that were well documented at the time where people reported both UFOs and Bigfoot at the same time and place. And that was very, very strange. And just a couple of the incidents, for example, I believe it was September 27th up in Beaver County, north of Pittsburgh, where two young ladies were waiting outside for a friend to pick them up out in a rural area when they see this large, hairy, and this was a white, hairy Bigfoot-type creature running across the road into a wooded area. And it was strange enough to see this hairy creature, but it was carrying a small, glowing sphere of light in its one hand. And then a short time later, this object came across the sky. They thought at first it was an aircraft, but the thing slowed down, and it emitted a beam of light down into the woods where the creature ran into. So that was very interesting.
You know, Stan, you and I have talked about this this UFO connection to Bigfoot before. It seems like there is one.
Well, then as things began to unfold more and more, as these reports are going on, and we're out there in the field investigating, we began to find some very odd things, which began to make us wonder exactly what was going on, because we had cases where you had trails of footprints that just suddenly stopped and vanished, where there should have been more tracks, for example. And then, you know, we had that amazing case, February 6th of 1974, up in Fayette County, way up on top of the mountain up there, outside of Ohio Pyle, where a woman who had lived in the country all her life had on this particular evening heard this commotion on her porch. And there had been some wild dogs coming through the air, and she thought these dogs were back. So what she'd do, she loads her shotgun with one chamber, and she's going to fire over the heads of these dogs. So she goes to the door, turns on the porch light, steps out in the doorway into the porch. There's no dogs there, but just a few feet in front of her, here's this very large, hairy creature, ape-like creature, And she never called it a Bigfoot. I remember what she said to me. She said, it looked like a great big hairy ape. And it had its arms straight up over its head. And she fires right into this thing, just a few feet away. And she said, there's this bright flash of light, like a strobe on a camera. And that creature just suddenly vanished and disappeared. And then, about 100 feet away is where her in-laws lived. They heard the gunshot, and they called her on the phone. She tried to explain to them what happened. And her son-in-law makes his way over to the house. He grabs his pistol. And as he's walking down the road towards her house, it's, of course, it's dark, and he sees these shadows of what appear to be hairy people running around. As he gets closer, he said he's surrounded by four or five of these hairy creatures with glowing eyes like coals of fire. And he starts shooting randomly at them, runs into the house. And at the same time, here's this large object hovering over the trees. He said like a big Christmas ornament with different lights hovering over the area, over the trees at the same time. So they call the state police. And those who were around back at that time might recall in February 74, there was a nationwide trucker strike going on. There was gas rationing going on. There was some violence on the roadway. So in Pennsylvania, the state police and the National Guard were patrolling together. So some of those personnel from both the National Guard and the state police responded to the event. Didn't get up there for quite a while until after it happened. And by the time they got there, of course, whatever was there was gone. However, I talked to an investigating officer, and I was there early the next morning with one of my associates, and we were up there searching for evidence. But we interviewed the trooper, and he said it was just amazing to see how the animals responded. And this is something that we saw in many cases, these creature reports we responded to during that time, something that could not have been fabricated. But as he said, here you had some normally large, normally vicious dogs. Should have been at the very least barking, carrying on. When he got there, those dogs didn't make a sound. Those dogs were in their houses. They're shaking, quivering, wouldn't bark, wouldn't move. He said he physically tried to pull one of those dogs out and move it. The dog wouldn't even respond or wouldn't move. But the people reporting their horses, their cattle, the cats in the house were all highly disturbed that night. But the dogs always seemed to be the animals that responded so uniquely when these creatures were close by. So if that case is real, and I found absolutely no reason to doubt that lady's story, then you've got to look at the possibility that at least some of these reports that we're dealing with something that may not be a normal flesh and blood animal, which may well be the reason why we don't have any bodies of these creatures.
You know, that question about no bodies, that's always bothered me, or puzzled me, I guess is a better term. You would think there would be bodies. Somebody sometime would have found one.
Well, you know, over the years now, I've been approaching now 52 years that I've been doing these investigations in Pennsylvania. And during that time, I can tell you, I have never personally seen a UFO or Bigfoot myself. I've interviewed thousands of people. I've seen lots of evidence. I'm firmly convinced that there's phenomena out there that we don't have explanations for, but I also don't have the answers to some of these things that are ongoing. We have a lot of possibilities, a lot of theories out there. But the more we know about the UFOs and the Bigfoot phenomena, I'm convinced more and more there's much more to this phenomenon that we understand.
Let's get back to the Birdman, for lack of a better description. It didn't happen very long ago. I guess where that happens really pretty far from here.
Yeah, but there's been no other reports so far. I mean, these are one of these type of reports you get of, you know, somebody is in the right place at the right time, and you get these reports every once in a while. I mean, for example, you know, we get these reports of these so-called Thunderbird reports of these huge birds with these massive wingspans. And, of course, some of these cases, there's no doubt there's misidentifications, but some of them are a very, very close range. And I had another one of these cases that happened, again, people being in the right place at the right time. This happened August 26th of last year in all places in South Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And there was four people who were having a barbecue behind their house, and everything was fine. They were sitting there talking when all of a sudden, they hear this very loud swooshing sound, swoosh, swish sound, and they look up, and right above the tree, about 35 to 40 feet right above their head, is this huge bird. Now, it was very close. They had a really good look at this thing, and the one witness who described it in detail said he figured that this thing was standing up, it'd stand at least 4 feet tall. And but they got a really good look. The beak was down as though looking down at them. And they estimated that the body, it was a darkish brown or black color. It was about 25 inches wide, the body, and it was very bulky and husky. and the head was oval-shaped, and the beak was short for the animal size. It's at about 8 to 10 inches long. Tail was about 2 feet long, came out to a, kind of like a point. But he said what was so amazing was the size of the wings, which minimum was around 10 feet. And they watched this thing as it was moving its wings up and down, and it was heading down the road, and they were just amazed, you know, at this thing, how it moved so quickly. And it was flying, and it just took a matter of, you know, a very, very short time to get way down the other end of the road and to suddenly vanish. In fact, they said that it took, from the way it was flapping its wings, that it took about 20 seconds to go about a quarter-mile distance till it was out of sight. And apparently there was another witness down the other end of the road who also observed it when it went by. Now, interestingly, back in that same general area, just down the road from there, by another witness, September 2001, a fella reported that he heard the sound, that he was, his eyes were drawn to the sky after he heard a sound, it said like flags flapping in the thunderstorm, to look up and see, again, this one of these huge dark birds, about 50 to 60 feet, moving above the traffic on Route 119, which is right down that area where these people saw it as well, right off of there. And this thing was moving along, following the truck traffic, and then it flew off and flew down the road and landed in this big tree. And he said it wasn't that tree long, and he said you could watch when that thing rose from the tree, the huge amount of weight you could see. It was like bending the branches as the thing took off. So yeah, you get these reports of these gigantic birds, and does not seem to be the same thing as what this man reported. But there have been, and then you got the Mothman, and you got various variations of large flying somethings being reported. There was two reports last year from two different people in widespread parts of the country, reporting what they appear to be, what they said was like a gigantic butterfly. So who knows what's going on out there?
Stan, what is amazing to me is a lot of these reports are current. I mean, you know, up to date.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even this year, you know, there's been some interesting cases already being reported. Now is the time of the year we'll get more and more calls because more people are outside. But during February, I believe it was, we had I had a number of reports of people reporting large footprints in the snow. And then you had the local Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society received a report on February 8th from up in Beaver County, which is up towards that general direction, not far from Butler County, where we reported the other incident, where a man at 7:45 in the morning was driving on entering the Pennsylvania Turnpike on a Route 60 exit ramp when he saw what appeared to be a dark, massive figure going into the woods. And he watched it as it took three very long strides, vanished into the tree line. And then the members of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society went up to the scene. It was snow on the ground, and they did find some interesting tracks that they were looking into. And there have been other UFO reports coming in as well. So, you know, things go on all the time, and, you know, you just don't hear about it very often.
You mentioned the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Over the years, it's amazing to me how many UFO reports we get from motorists traveling that turnpike.
Oh, yeah, and I mentioned some of the cases in my two books, Really Mysterious Pennsylvania, and I believe the Silent Invasion as well. And there have been some very interesting cases on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I remember an incident that occurred, I'm going back many, many years, probably during the 1990s now, where an incident happened where the police had notified me of the incident. I interviewed the witnesses. They were driving, I believe, outside of Philadelphia in daylight, an executive and another person in a car, to see this large metallic object came down out of the sky and came directly at their vehicle in daylight on the turnpike. Almost, it was always going to hit the car and then it turned off into the sky. And they were very, very badly frightened, and I did interview those people. So these things happen, but probably 95% of reports are going out to the public never hears
about. You know, Stan, one of the things that amazes me about you, you mentioned earlier you've been doing this 52 years, and I've known you for at least 15. We've been doing shows for a long time, and you're just as excited today as you were the first day I met you. And I bet you're just as excited as you were 52 years ago.
Well, I've never lost interest, and I think what makes it interesting is the fact that the reports go on year after year. You never know what that next phone call or next email is going to contain. And, you know, you talk to a lot of people who, you know, most cases appear to be credible. They're telling stories, or most of them don't want any publicity whatsoever. there's a lot of similarities to a lot of the reports, and it just makes you realize there's a lot of things out there we just don't understand.
You know, over the years, Stan, we've done some pretty scary stuff, you and I, when you tell me about some of the things we've investigated. Bigfoot, gorilla-looking creatures, birdman-type creatures with long beaks in the night, all kinds of strange things. And most of them are pretty scary. Anybody ever get hurt? You have a report of anybody ever being injured by one of these things?
I can't think of any cases where this has happened. I mean, over the years, we've had a couple incidents where, and you couldn't verify them, possibly affecting, involving around the Bigfoot cases. But I would say I cannot think of any cases where these things actually have gone after somebody. Even cases where people have shot at these things, and I have numerous shooting incidents mentioned in the Silent Invasion. And the question is, even though I don't recommend people shooting at them, people did and used different types of weapons at various ranges, and most of them were relatively close range, and yet no case of these things appeared to be hurt. None of them were brought down, and of course no bodies were found, which still makes you ask the question, what are we dealing with?
Well, maybe the ETs are playing around with us. These are holograms. They send them out.
A lot of theories, you know.
I'm just kidding.
Could some of these things be interdimensional beings? Is there something about certain geographical areas where when the conditions are right, these things have the capability to come in and out of physical reality? Because some of the incidents with UFOs and Bigfoot seem to suggest that there's a physical and non-physical aspect to some of these cases.
I like that title of the book, Silent Invasion. Why did you call it that, Stan?
Well, when you read the book and you see the multitudes of reports and the strange phenomena was ongoing over a very widespread area across the state, and all these events going on day after day, day and night, and people didn't know what was going on at the time. And, you know, I kept working on these cases and interviewed many of these witnesses for years after they happened, and some of these people, even years later, they had an effect on their life from what they experienced. And some of the strangest, most interesting cases on record we documented at the time, and I just felt that it was important to get this part of history out in a book in detail, so it would be a part of history and people would realize that these things have gone on. And I also know that there is numerous UFO and Bigfoot researchers over the years, especially since the 70s, that have had some of these remarkable cases of very strange phenomena. That sometimes UFOs have other aspects to them, sometimes the Bigfoot events have other aspects to them, some of them are very strange and unusual, and some of these investigators have been reluctant or refused to publish these reports because of fear from their peers. But I felt as an investigator, no matter how strange these cases were, that it was important for people to be aware of these cases and to share this information so hopefully we could learn more from these people's experiences. And it was kind of done to help to encourage others who are out there today who might have these type reports to come forward.
Well, let's hope they come forward, Stan. From a selfish standpoint, it makes great shows. Always great shows with you. You live in an interesting state. Lots of urban areas in Pennsylvania, yet lots of wilderness.
Amazing with the forests and mountains and what we have here. I mean, not far from where I'm living here is the Chestnut Ridge, which is that 100-mile-long mountain range that goes from Preston County, West Virginia, to Westmore and Fayette in Indiana County. That is a continuous hotbed area for recurring phenomena year after year. And there are certain areas, especially here in Westmoreland County, areas which went through that part of that massive wave in 73, and I mentioned in Silent Invasion, where so many strange incidents occurred. But even in more recent years, we continue to receive reports, especially around, for whatever reason, around Derry Township outside of Latrobe, along that area of the ridge, of people reporting UFOs and strange creature sightings.
Stan, you've been doing this a long time, and Pennsylvania is a place where lots of strange things happen. So I have to ask you, have you ever had reports of ETs getting out of craft or something like that?
It's not been that common in recent years. These cases were much more common late 60s, during the 70s, 80s, you know, back in those years, as you recall, we had many of those really classic reports of a large solid craft, you know, pursuing cars and landing. And we had cases of alleged landings where people reported seeing various type of humanoid creatures emerge from the craft. But it's not something we've heard that much about.
And I wonder why that is.
I really don't know. I mean, the reports come in year after year, and some of them are very interesting cases, but we don't get as many of those really detailed, close-up, solid, large structured craft like we did over the last 30-some years, I'd say.
I guess you get a lot of flying triangle reports, too.
You get a lot of reports of triangular objects, rectangular, cigar-shaped objects, discs. And what I do get some interesting reports on, and I've seemed to be getting, I'd say, not huge numbers, but more of these and relative on recurring years now, are these small, what I call mini UFOs, that I started to get reports of back in the 60s, and I recount that in some of the books in the Silent Invasion, talking about these small objects, and only a few inches to a foot in diameter. And then I have some other reports of objects, like some reports last year are just several feet in length, and they're seen at very close range. They're not high in the sky, but they're sometimes within 15, 20 feet of the witnesses. And these little small spheres are interesting because you've got reports of these things actually entering people's homes and cars where the windows are down. And I talk about this one case from years ago, way up in the mountains north of Pittsburgh, way up in the mountains, where a woman told me that she had a window open in the kitchen, and this little sphere came in and was floating around, and she grabbed her broom and started swinging and hit this thing. She said it broke into two identical spheres. They floated around and went back in the window and left.
Interesting. Maybe the ETs use drones just like the CIA.
Well, again, many theories, and we just don't have the answers right now.
Let's plug these two books again, Silent Invasion, and what was the name of the other one?
The first book came out, it was called Really Mysterious Pennsylvania, UFOs, Bigfoot, and Other Weird Encounters, and Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Casebook, which has, I can assure you, some of the strangest, best-documented cases on record that most people have heard about. And they can order autographed copies directly from my website at stangordon.info, that's I-N-F-O. And they can also call my hotline and order directly at 724-838-7768.
Stan, you've had that hotline number for a long time. I take it you still get a lot of calls?
Oh, yeah, we get a lot of calls. I'd say I do get probably more email information now, but I still get quite a lot of calls as well. And that concerns recent and past sightings as well. A lot of people call in about things they've seen, you know, years in the past. And interestingly, quite often, these people have a pretty good idea of date and time and location. And sometimes I've been able to go into my files and find that there were other reports that coincide exactly with what they described, but they had no way of knowing it at the time.
You probably keep everything.
Oh, yeah. I've got thousands and thousands of cases on file.
Stan, we'll always stay in touch.
I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks very much, Stan.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Goodbye.